I'm going to talk to you today about tomorrow. Sun will come out tomorrow. Unless you live in the Northwest, then this is our winter. Tomorrow. I've been thinking a lot about this. How do you and I face tomorrow with victory? What does the Bible have to say about tomorrow? And I've been interested in searching, really, what the Bible says tomorrow. We're going to pause for one moment. Margaret, next week we're going to honor Margaret Crabb. Margaret has been on our at our church for years and years and years. And she's also been on our elder board for a number of years. And she feels like it's time for her to step aside, not for any other reason, but just to step aside. I feel like the Lord is telling her to do that. So we want to honor her next week as leadership and as a church, and we want to bless her. So can we do that even right now? We bless Margaret and just thank you for your service. Well, it's been quite a few months, and it's still not over. But Dean, let me get on this, bud, because I got about 20 minutes. Thank you, my friend. We'll talk later. So tomorrow, how do we deal with tomorrow? I've listened to people speak with certainty about what tomorrow is going to be. And I'm not political, but if a certain political party gets into power, then the world's coming to an end. And if the other political party, then it's joy unspeakable and full of glory. And dear ones, I just want to tell you right now, we don't know. We don't know what tomorrow holds. But the Bible gives very clear instructions about how to deal with tomorrow. So when you hear this is what's going to happen, turn it off, because we don't know what tomorrow has to bring. There's a proverb, it's not a Christian proverb, but it's a truth proverb about a farmer and his son. And maybe you've heard this proverb before, but it illustrates kind of where we're at. So the farmer, it goes like this, had a horse that ran away, and the neighbors came to him and said, "Oh, what misfortune, you lost your horse." And the farmer said, "Maybe so, maybe not." The next day, the horse came back with seven other horses. And the neighbors said, "Oh, what great fortune, your horse came back, and you've got more horses." And the farmer said, "Maybe so, maybe not." The next day, the son was trying to break the horse and domesticate the horse. And as he was riding the horse threw him off and he broke his leg. And the neighbors, who have way too much time to be seeing what the farmer's going on, said to the farmer, "Oh, what misfortune, your son broke his leg." And the farmer said, "Maybe so, maybe not." 2 days later, the army comes to conscript all the young men to join the army to fight in the battle. And because of the young man's broken leg, they left the soldiers left the son there. And the neighbors, who once again, who loves this farmer, came and said to the farmer, "Oh, what great fortune, your son, because of his broken leg, did not have to join the army." And the farmer said, the point of the parable is that we judge the future by current events. We judge what's going to happen by what's happening. And what we find from Scripture, and the point of the fact is, we really don't know. Will life be better for us? Maybe so, maybe not. Will life be more challenging? Maybe so, maybe not. But here's the point. Whatever the future holds, what does Scripture tell us to do when it comes to looking at the future? And I have found two direct commands. They're not suggestions. They're not ideas. They're not just things for you to contemplate. They are commands from Scripture that we must, as followers of Jesus Christ, obey. Say the word with me, obey. These are commands from Scripture, not suggestions from Scripture. And here's the commands. I'm going to give you the don'ts first, but there's also do along with them. So first of all, the Scripture is very clear. When we think about tomorrow as tomorrow being the future, the Scripture says this: don't boast about tomorrow and don't worry about tomorrow. Don't boast about tomorrow, and say it with me, don't. So both of these, don't boast, don't worry, are two sides of the same coin. When we boast, we think we've got tomorrow under control. Our plans, we've got it figured out. When we worry, we're a victim to tomorrow because someone else made a decision that affects my life. And so we worry or we boast. And the Bible says don't. So let's look at the Bible. Let's look at some Scripture. I'm going to read this morning, just to be different, I'm going to read from the Message and the Passion Translation. Every translation has their own issues. I get it. But we're just going to dice it up a little bit more and see what the Bible has to say about boasting and worrying. So let's talk about boasting first. So So if we could put Proverbs chapter 27, verse 1, would you, in the Message Bible, then we're going to read it in the Passion Translation. And then we're going to go to James chapter 4. We're studying James 4 because James echoes Proverbs 27, 1. So would you declare these words with me? Proverbs 27, 1 in the Message. Let's read it together. Don't brashly announce what you're going to do tomorrow. You don't know the first thing about tomorrow. Let's go to the Passion Translation. What does it say? Read it together. Never brag about the plans you have for tomorrow, for you don't have a clue what tomorrow will bring. Don't you like that the Bible's kind of like in your face a little bit? Let's read James chapter 4 together in the Message Bible. Let's read it together. Here we go. And now I have a word for you who brashly announce today at the latest tomorrow, we're off to such and such a city for the year. We're going to start a business and make a lot of money. You don't know the first thing about tomorrow. Sound familiar? Pulled it right from 27:1. He goes on to say, listen to this. I mean, this is pretty harsh. This is harsh. He goes, read it together. You're nothing but a wisp of fog, catching a brief bit of sun before disappearing. Wow. Instead, make it a habit to say, if the master wills it and we're still alive, we'll do this or that. As it is, you are full of your grandiose selves. All such vaunting, self-importance, woo, is evil. In fact, if you know the right thing to do and don't do it, that for you is... It gets better in the Passion Translation. Everybody, listen, those of you who are boasting today or tomorrow will go to another city and spend some time and go into business and make heaps of profit. 14, but you don't have a clue what tomorrow may bring. We read that right. For your fleeting life is but a warm breath of air that is visible in the cold only for a moment and then vanishes. Pause there. When you came in this morning and you got out of your car and you were breathing, did you see the air, just kind of hot air hit the cold air? When you go back into your car, go like this. That's our lives. Go on. Instead, you just say, our tomorrows are in the Lord's hands, and if he is willing, we will live life to its fullest and do this or that. But here you are boasting in your ignorance, for to be presumptuous about what you'll do tomorrow is evil. So if you know of an opportunity to do the right thing today, you refrain from doing it, you're guilty of sin. Wow. The boast is this. The boast is to have a perspective, a vantage point, that when I can see things so well, I know that my choices are going to lead to success. It's a selfish, kind of a self-centered focus where we think that we see everything well. That it's a confidence in ourselves and our ability to plan our lives out with assured success. That if I do this and I do that and I do this, then I know where it's going to lead and I'm going to be successful. And James comes, brings us right back to the reality that our lives are but a whisper. Our lives are but a breath. And he's saying, we cannot waste our lives on self-seeking endeavors. That you and I only get so many turns around the sun. And some of us, the turn is going to go, the amount of turning is going to end quicker than others. And so he's saying, we need to pay attention to our lives, that we are not coming, approaching our tomorrows, our future, with this idea of, I've got this. But we're to integrate our lives by submitting every portion of our life to God. What does that mean? It means Mike at church needs to be the same Mike at home, which needs to be the same Mike wherever he's at, that wherever he goes, that my faith is integrated and there's no segment of my life. Where our work life, we're one person. When we, our money life, we're another person. Our family life, we're another person. But we are the same person because we're integrating our lives into God's will for our lives. I am 57 years old. I was 20 just yesterday. I received on Facebook an invitation to a high school reunion. And all of my classmates are old looking. They've put on weight. They've lost hair. They've got a gray beard. I'm talking about me. Right? How did they get so old? How did we all of a sudden become from, hey, we're just starting a life, to now I'm grandpa, I'm Papa Mike. I love being a grandpa. It's the most awesome thing. And I was told, if you just don't kill your kids, it's worth it when you have grandkids. How did I become Papa? How did that happen where these little beautiful children go, Papa? It's awesome, but some, where did the time go? And you and I, we don't have time to waste focusing on what do we want to do with our own lives. Notice that James doesn't rebuke them for planning. He rebukes them for planning without any consideration of God. So it's not that we don't plan. That's not the it. Because if you read Proverbs, Proverbs is filled with how we plan our lives out. But it's when we don't take any kind of thought to what is God's will for our life and we plan out our lives without submitting, humbly submitting ourselves to Him first, then that the Bible calls is sin and it's foolishness. It is great wisdom for us to be a people who honor God with our lives. And even if we don't know what it looks like, start out with a prayer. God, if it's your will, if it's your will, if it's your will. I had people just kind of make fun of me on this years ago. And they said, Mike, do you mean if I come to make a left or a right, do I need to pray God's will? Do I make a right or a left, God? What is your will? You know. And I said to them, if it helps you to get in the habit of doing it, do it. Because too often we just make decisions. And the scripture calls that boasting. And we might not ever say those words. We might ever even think that in our heart. But we don't have any consideration of God in the decisions we make. That is sin. And it's boasting. I'm so glad you're here today. So, as follower of Jesus, our priority is, what do you want with my life, God? Make plans, but know that God's ordering our steps. Now, there's a doxology in Ephesians chapter 3 where Paul ends a great prayer for the church of Ephesus. I'm going to put it up on the screen because we've got to understand something. The greatest plans we could ever think are nothing compared to what God has for our lives. Now, that doesn't mean we're going to get wealthy. It doesn't mean we're going to get fame. It means that it fits to how God designed us to be on this earth. So Ephesians chapter 3, Paul ends this fantastic prayer of the church of Ephesus with these words. Now to the king. No. That's 1 Timothy 1:18. Sorry. Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. Look at, according to the power that is at work within us. This isn't God just directing our lives from a distance. This is God partnering with us in life together. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. Okay, everybody, come on. It's going to be okay. Look at me. It's going to be okay. Look at me. It's going to be okay. I mean, you need to shake yourself just a little bit. Not because I'm preaching, but I'm looking at zombies right now. Right? It's almost like someone died. Okay? It's going to be okay. God is working in our world. And this is getting us to the second point. This is getting us to what we need to know about next is worry. Say the word worry. Do what Jesus says about worry. Don't. And it's not don't worry, be happy. Don't worry. I'm sorry, I love music, so I go into songs every time. Matthew chapter 6, Sermon on the Mount, verses 5 through 7. Greatest sermon ever preached. Message Bible, Passion Translation. Look what it says. I pulled a little bit before 33. In the Message Bible, but would you read this out loud with me? Okay, here we go. Jesus is talking. What I'm trying to do here is to get you to relax, to not be so preoccupied with getting, so you can respond to God's giving. People who don't know God and the way He works fusses over these things, but you know both God and how He works. Keep your life in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. Give your entire attention to what God is doing right now. Look at, and here we go. Don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes. That should be yay. Okay? Look at the Passion Translation. So above all, constantly chase after the realm of God's kingdom and the righteousness that proceeds from Him. Then all these less important things, what am I going to eat? What am I going to wear? What am I going to live? Those are important to God, but not the highest priority. All these less important things will be given to you abundantly. Refuse to worry about tomorrow, but deal with each challenge that comes your way one day at a time. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Wow. I have been a Christian a long time. I remember Methuselah. Adam was a good guy. I've been a Christian a long time. And what I have discovered in all my years of serving Christ, the number one thing, I can think I say this with all honesty, the number one challenge I've seen in believers is worry. They might not say that. They might just say, oh, I've got a burden. I've got a heavy heart for a situation. I'm just concerned deeply about a situation. That's bull. You're worried. Let's be honest now. And the Bible is very specific. Don't worry. And I want to explain how we can do that. I want to explain about how you and I can live a life not worry-free. Because worry is a constant reminder that we have to mature into not living according to what it desires for us. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, I'm going to go there in a moment. All of us are given, the whole world is given, what I call a common grace. Common is not because it's not valuable or not precious, but it's a grace given to all. Paul says it this way in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This not of yourselves, so that no one can. So you and I, it is a gift of God, not by works. We have all been given a grace for salvation. Somebody say amen to that, right? Now, that is given to all. But did you know that God will give specific grace at specific times to give us specific strength to handle what we're going through in a day? So we see this in the life of Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. In verse 7, he says, because of the surpassing revelations given to me, a thorn in my flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Well, that's fun, right? 3 times he pleaded with the Lord, remove this thorn, remove it from me. Take it away from me. And here was Jesus' response to Paul. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Paul goes on to say something like, I will all the more boast in my weakness so that Christ's power might rest on me. Now here's the point. Did Paul need the grace to come into relationship with Jesus? No, he'd already received that grace. But he needed a grace to deal with whatever this messenger, whatever this thorn was. God says, I'm going to give you grace for that. So that not only you just kind of make it through, but you overcome because I'm giving you the grace to handle what you're going through. I'm going to force a smile out of you guys. Yay. Yay, right over here. Yay, yay. This is amazing that God gives us grace when needed. And you don't get pre-grace. You don't get tomorrow's grace today. I will tell this story the rest of my life because it was one of those few moments that at that very moment, it was transformational for me. Many of you heard this before, so please hear it one more time. My middle brother, Denny, my wife and I, my family fly home because his oldest son, Cody, died from an inoperable brain tumor. He's 13 years old, had it since he was 2. So we go home to be part of the funeral. And I'm sitting after the funeral with my brother, Denny, and I go, Denny, I don't even know how you're making it right now. I don't even know how you're surviving right now, because if one of my children were to die, it would be devastating to me. And my brother turns to me, and he says these words, Mike, it's because God has given me the grace to go through it, not you. You don't need the grace. Your kids are alive. I need the grace. Light bulb. Ding, 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 ding. I didn't need the grace. My brother did. And there are things that we walk through and we're going to walk through in the future that we don't get pre-grace. But when we project our current events into the future without the grace to navigate it, we get worried. We get fretful. Because you're not supposed to look into the future without grace. And you don't get the grace until you're there. Hebrews 4:16 says, Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence. Let us approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of... Mercy is where we don't get what we deserve. Grace is where we do get what we don't deserve. So mercy says, I deserve this. And God says, no, I'm not going to give you that. Grace says, I don't deserve that. And God says, I'm going to give you that. Because what he gives us in times of need is what we don't deserve and what we don't deserve, but we do get. It's his grace. If I were to tell you that September 28th, 2019, Echo Hills Church came together. Valley Christian Center and Hope Chapel. Remember we had t-shirts made and we had, right? Remember that? We had some food and the couple from Hawaii, they came and they blessed us. They were awesome. It was a great time. Okay. And Jeff and I, we'd say, hey, we're going to equip you to love, live, and lead faith, hope, and love. We're going after God. We're going after that. And then what if Jeff and I, like in October, said, oh, and by the way, starting in March, there's going to be a worldwide pandemic. And guess what? Whole countries are going to close down. Hey, guess what? Schools are going to shut down, and mom and dad, you're going to have to figure out how to teach your kids from home. And teachers are going to have, and we're going to be on Zoom calls. And guess what? Businesses, economies are shutting down. And you know what the worst thing is? You can't find toilet paper. You remember that? It wasn't so long ago that it was like, I'm here for toilet paper. Good luck. You know, I almost ran to Clearwater Paper and just waited for them to produce something, right? We can't have, you can't go to the hospital for your children's birth. You can't go to the hospital. Surgery is going to shut down. You can't go to the rest home to see your elderly. You can't travel for weddings and funerals. Everything is shutting down. And if we were to told you in October that in just a few short months, you and I are going to experience a worldwide pandemic, there could have been this sense of, what are we to do? What are we to do? What are we to do? But do you know what God is doing? He's given us grace right now to walk through this pandemic that would not give us the grace in October of last year. We are figuring it out. Church is going to be closed down for months. We're going to be watching church on a screen. Then we're going to go through a drive-through church where you just drive by and we go, bless you. And then it's drive-in church. Don't get out of your car. Honk, honk if you love Jesus, right? And then it's in the grass. What is happening? God is always gives us grace when we need it for the day. When we project into the future without the grace to walk through it, that's where worry dwells. This is good stuff. Because I'm having to live this. I can't tell you how many times this last week, and I'm the one teaching the message, had to deal with worry. Boy, it slips in so fast. Just like, what if this happens? And, no. If that happens, I'll have grace for that. Don't worry about it. That's the words of our Jesus. So let me bring this home. In Deuteronomy chapter 33, 24, 25, this ties in what we're talking about. Moses is blessing the tribes of Israel. They haven't received their property, their territory yet, but he's prophesying about their future. And there is one tribe by the name of Asher. Asher is, their territory is going to be the northern part of Israel. Their neighbors are going to be the Philistines. And we know how well the Philistines and the Jews loved each other, right? So the problem with Asher is this, that if the Philistines wanted to attack from the north to get to Israel, they're going to have to go through the territory of Asher. So in essence, you've got a Philistine army and a Philistine community that will come right through your territory to get to Jerusalem. So Moses knows this, and Moses begins to prophesy their future. Asher's land had a lot of olive groves, tons of olive groves, that they would produce olive oil. Asher's land also was real rich with minerals like iron and bronze. So Moses is speaking about what their future is going to be. And he uses these words. He says, most blessed of the sons is Asher. Let him be favored by his brothers and let him bathe his feet in oil. That's that symbol of the olive gardens and the olive groves. Now, the bolts of your gates will be iron and bronze, and your strength will equal your days. So I've read on this. Some translations say your feet will be with iron and bronze. It's the same purpose for Asher. Your neighbors are the Philistines. And what Moses was trying to get them to understand is this. Don't worry about being attacked by the Philistines, because your gates, your security, is going to be gates of bronze and iron. And here's the other thing. As your day is, your strength will match it. You got to catch that. As your day is. So don't get your mind worried about, is the Philistines going to attack? Are we ready? No. You've got security in me. Don't worry about that. And whatever comes your way, you will have the strength to deal with it. So I don't know where you fall on the political landscape. Some are rejoicing, thinking this is the glorious day for America. Others are mourning, like, oh, this is never going to work. We are a divided country. We are divided politically. We're divided emotionally. We are a divided people. Not so the church. We are not political. We are kingdom first. But we live in a country that's divided. How do we navigate it? We don't worry. And this isn't apathy. This isn't indifference. This isn't sitting back and doing nothing. No, no, no. We are actively engaged. We're seeking first the kingdom. That's what we do. We are to actively pray, Lord, your will be done. We are active in this, but not from a sense of worry and fear, but a sense of confidence that God, whatever happens tomorrow, you got this. What if COVID comes? Grace will be there for that. Healing will be there for that. What if my job doesn't come back? Grace will be there for that. God's grace will be sufficient for whatever we walk through. But don't waste a moment of your life thinking a week or a month or 6 weeks ahead going, what is this going to look like? Because you won't have grace until you get there. Amen. Philippians chapter 4, and I'm done. Philippians chapter 4. I love Philippians because it's all about joy. We need some joy. We do. Right? Okay. So, we've been doing this all morning. I want you to read this with me again, and we're actually going to do this right now. Okay? We're actually going to put the Bible into motion. Read with me. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let's do that. Yay! 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 Now, it's interesting. This word rejoice doesn't mean happy, happy, happy. Okay? This word rejoice means this. To delight in God's grace. It's that, again, it's not like, oh, I am so happy today. My emotions are up in the sky and I got blue butterflies and pink, you know, unicorns. I'm happy, happy, happy. It's not that. It's that we're delighting in God's grace for our lives. The word means to literally experience God's favor. It means to be conscious of his grace. So rejoicing isn't just this ethereal kind of, I got to feel good about the life. No, it is that we focus in on his grace for our lives. And in that we go, thanks, God, I rejoice in you. So rejoice in the Lord. How often? Remember that song? Yeah. Old song. Rejoice, rejoice. And again. Yeah, I got that. Sorry. Musical. He goes on to say, let your gentleness be evident to all. Why? The Lord is near. In essence, don't weird out when things are difficult. Don't freak out. Don't speak out. Don't go, the sky is falling. Why? The Lord's here. He's here. Do not be anxious about anything. How many of you ever heard these verses before? Come on, raise your hand. And how many of you have been anxious? Right? This is not new stuff. This is just a deeper level. This is where we got to do this. Do not. It's a command. Do not be anxious for anything, but in everything with prayer, petition, and thanksgiving. So prayer is talking to God. Petition is this. Petition is where we pray for a specific felt need. Where there's heartfelt petition where we have this, I don't got it. This deep personal lack. I just don't think I'm there. Paul says, bring your petitions before the Lord. What is anxiety? Anxiety is the same word that we found in Matthew chapter 6. Worry. And what is it? This is amazing. You know what worry and anxiety is? It means to tear yourself apart. It means you mentally, physically, emotionally are going in different directions. Have you ever been there before? James calls it this way, double-minded. Hey, God, you got this. You don't. God's on the throne. He's not. I think it's going to be great. It won't. And you're just like, that's what worry does. We take God out of the picture. So what do we do when that anxiety comes? We pray, petition, and thanksgiving. And I found this out as well. The word thanksgiving, thankful for God's grace. It's going back to, I'm not thankful for what's going on. I'm thankful for the grace that God has given me right now to walk through whatever's going on. And here's the promise. You guys know it. And the peace. Go ahead and read it out loud. Let's hear the word of God together. And the what? So shalom in the Hebrew, Irene in the Greek. The word peace means this, to join together, to tie together in a whole. When all essential parts are joined together, peace is God's gift of wholeness. So what does anxiety do? It makes us go, I don't know what's going to happen. Oh God, I love you on the throne. I'm just, And peace goes, no, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, physically, he's bringing me together. And even though everything out there is like, whoa, this is really crazy right now in our world, but it transcends what I can understand. It transcends what I see. It transcends what the prognosticators are saying. It transcends all these things. And it will guard. And it really means this, to put a big old bodyguard over your mind and your emotions, what you think and what you feel. That God says, if you will do this, here's what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to give you this peace that brings you all together in wholeness. And it's going to be a bodyguard that says, no trespassing. Get out of here. Not welcome. And when worry tries to come, it's like, no, you're not going to steal my peace. Well, how do I stay there? Through prayer, petition, thanksgiving. And then we are walking as whole people. Now we are peculiar people in a world that's really weirded out. Are you stressed out? No. Do you not watch the news? I do. And you're not stressed out? I'm not. You're weird. And that's what 1 Peter says we are. We need some more peculiar people in our world. Amen. From the mouth of babes, God has ordained worship. I'm done. I did this in about 30 minutes. That's pretty good. Come on. That's 30 minutes, right? Right? I mean, you don't have to. Oh, yes, you do. Here's what I want us to do. I want us to repent. I've heard a lot of people say, man, we got to repent. And it's usually in this kind of a hellfire, brimstone. God is mad and wants to destroy everybody. And I don't see God that way at all. The word repent means to change the way you think. So James says, if you're boasting about tomorrow, that's sin and it's evil. We need to repent. If you and I have been worrying about tomorrow, Jesus said, don't do that. We've disobeyed a command. We need to repent. We need to ask God to forgive us and to teach us how to not worry and not boast. And I have repented probably about 25 times this week because it's not a one-time thing. It's that journey of learning how to think as Christ thinks, what he says. It's not natural for us not to be freaked out a little bit, but it's supernatural to live in peace because we know his grace will be there tomorrow. Are you worried about a loved one? Hey, listen, God will give you grace for that today. Are you worried about COVID? Hey, God will give you grace for that. Don't worry. And I know this is an awful song, and I know it's really bad, and I know you're going to groan. But I'm hopefully that it'll strike something in your mind whenever you hear this song. It's all about that grace, not worry. It's all about that, right? That's all I got from the song. That's all I got, right? It's all about that grace, not, I know it's a bad song. I get it. I know it's a song, and some of you older people maybe need to pull the YouTube up and say, what is he talking about? I have no idea. It's all about, no, we're not going to sing it, but it's that reality of, if maybe it comes on the TV, on a commercial or the radio, where you hear this song, it's all about that bass, it's really grace. Maybe something will trigger in your mind. Maybe God will use that little stupid song that I just used to go, hey, that's right. It's all about that grace, not worry. Would you stand? I am so grateful that you've plowed through the snowstorm of 2020. Oh man, it was just blizzarding. It was just like snow everywhere. Snowopolis. Thank you for coming through. Hey, listen. When we leave these doors, when we go out into our place, our space, you're going to have grace for the rest of the day. And the Bible says, and his mercy is new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. And guess what? Tomorrow when you wake up, grace is going to meet you. Where we get tired is when we start thinking about, man, I can't wait for 2020 to be over. I can't wait for 2021. Hey guys, do you know that it's just a click on the calendar? There's no guarantee that this is over January 1, 2021, unless the Lord prophesies it and says yes, and I'll say amen. But if it doesn't, where we get tired is we start projecting, I just want this to be over. I don't want to wear a mask anymore. I don't want to, la, 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 la. Grace for the day. So will you repent with me? Will you repent with me? However the outcome, whatever the outcome is, and I'm just going to tell you honestly, I have a preference for the outcome, but my number one concern is the process of the outcome. If there is wrong that took place, that's what I'm going after in prayer. I'm going after righteousness. I'm going after justice. That's what I'm praying for. And then whatever is, what is whatever is. I'm trusting the Father. But let's change the way we think. Let's change the way we're posting ideas on Facebook. Let's change the way we Instagram. And let's be people of grace. So eyes up, head up. How many needs to repent a little bit? Okay, I'm going to do two hands because right? So let's just leave them up before the Lord, shall we? Thanks for grace. Thank you, Lord, you don't cast us aside. Thank you, Lord, that you don't say, come on, figure it out. But you're patient, teaching us how to flow and follow your commands. John 14:15 says, if you love me, you obey my commands. And Lord, the evidence of love is obedience. So Father, we know now, we're not to boast, and we are to take responsibility for any time we do. So, Lord, we take responsibility any time we've just planned out our tomorrows without even consideration of you. And, the Lord, also, I think primarily it's that thought of worry that just kind of tears us apart, where we know you're in charge, but is we're not sure how's this going to work. And so we're not really confident in prayer. So Lord, we repent of worrying. We repent of anxiety. And Lord, we thank you for grace that is teaching us to say no to ungodliness. Titus 2:11. And ungodliness is, Lord, where we just do it our way without God. So Father, grace for the day. Come on, say it with me. Grace for the day. Say it again. Grace for the day. Say it with me. It's all about that grace. About that grace. Not worry. Come on. It's all about that grace. About that grace. I don't think that song has ever been used in church before. Remind each other. Hey, grace for the day. You got it? We're going to have grace for the day. Last call. I'm done. I know I've been done about four times. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, either online or here in this room, His grace is sufficient for you. It's a common grace. It's a grace that we can have a relationship with Him. And to be honest with you, I would not want to face the future without the one who holds it. So it's not a fear-based thing. It's His kindness that leads to repentance. So if you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, I'm not trying to sell a church to you. I'm trying to invite you into a relationship with a God who loves you and gave Himself for you. And He promises us His peace. So if you need Jesus Christ, you don't know Him, please talk to me. Stay 6 feet away, but please talk to me.